Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. You guys could be seated. Hey, can we thank our worship team one more time for leading us so well today? Thank you guys. What an amazing time together. Well, good morning. Thank you guys so much for being here. My name's Bobby, and if I haven't got to meet you yet, I would love that opportunity. Man, I'm excited. It's a new day and a new space, and we've got so many familiar faces. We got some new faces. If this is one of your first times here, thank you. Thank you. As Jeff mentioned, your presence matters to us. And we would love to meet you. There's a big, and on the way out, stop by the tent, and we would love just to get some information from you, and we've got some free gifts, and my motto is, if it's free, it's for me, all right? So go ahead and stop by and get one of those. This is a new year. How many of you love the new year? Anybody like going into new years? Like it's like new year, new me kind of thing. Anybody believe that this is going to be your best year yet? Like anybody believe in that? All right, a couple of you. All right, y'all got to wake up a little bit now, all right? I got a little bit of a juice. I got a little bit of excitement up here. So I may have to just walk these aisles here in a minute. But that's the mindset going in. It's going to be a great year. I'm excited. Jeff mentioned this, but I want to just reiterate, next Sunday, all right, next Sunday is the day we're celebrating our four-year anniversary as a church, and obviously we want you to come and be a part of that on Sunday morning here at 10 o'clock, but we're also going to have baptisms, all right, we got some baptisms lined up. If you want to know more about that, you want to take your next step in baptism, come talk to us. We would love to get you in on that celebration, but also we're going to have a party, all right, we're going to party. Like it's 1999, all right? To explain it to everybody else in the room what that means. So we're going to have a good time, all right? I like it that this is our first Sunday kind of in here together, two services. This is a good Sunday to like claim your seat, right? Like nobody else has your seat right now. It's your seat and nobody else can ever sit there. Just kidding, guys. Calm down. All right. We're going to start a new series today called Let's Get It Started. All right. Yes, we stole this from the Black Eyed Peas, and we really did. But Fergie was going to come lead worship for us, but she was busy. Again, if you're under 40, and then they will let you know. But this series is, it's kind of, we're going to peel back the curtain a little bit. In our realm here, we're going to peel back the pipe and drape a little bit and just talk about what God has for us as a church, all right? The foundation of this series is built on a couple of verses, all right? And so I'm gonna share a couple verses. I hope you got your Bible. Get your thumbs ready if you got your digital Bible. Go to Proverbs chapter 29, Proverbs chapter 29, and go to 1 Peter chapter 2. So if you have a Bible place, if not, I'll give you a second to type it in here in just a minute. But this series is designed to lead us into the days ahead. What we feel like the Lord is leading us as a Christ, what does that look like for us? Now, I want to go ahead and tell you, this is not going to be a normal series that we typically do, all right? We're going to bounce around. Again, this is kind of a peel back the curtain kind of a series. But I want you to understand why we're doing this, all right? I think it's really, really, really important for you to, chapter 29, verse 18 is really the foundation of this series. The Bible says this, without revelation, those divine instruction will be happy. Maybe if you've read the Bible or been around the Bible much in your life, you've heard it said a little bit differently. Maybe you've heard it said, where there is no vision, the people perish, right? Some of you guys have heard it like that before. What God is reminding his people, all right, this is a message to Christians, to followers of God, that God-given direction is really, really important for you and I. Without God-given clear direction, listen to what he says, life and community drift into chaos. Which, and so without a divine direction, a vision from the Lord, we tend to go towards chaos. We tend to go towards destruction, the Bible says. Now, go over to 1 Peter chapter 2, because this is kind of the same thing, but in a little bit of a different way. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And God's word says this. Listen to what he says. It'll be here on the screen. Again, he's talking to Christians. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession. So you're chosen for what? Claim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Now this passage here was written to Christians, but they were looked at as outsiders. They weren't in the in crowd in the community. And what God was doing, he was reminding them that those who are in Christ, you may be surrounded by hostile culture. But Peter kind of gives this anchor that your identity is not in circumstances. Your identity is calling, God's mercy, and God's mission. All right, so let's combine these two passages of scripture. Where there's no vision, people perish. And as God's children, you are called by God for a reason to live out his mission, his calling, and his ministry. And so it is very, very, very important. And this is what I want you to get today. All right, this is where we're going to go. That spiritual growth accelerates when people know who they are, whose they are, and why they were saved. Now, this is one of us in here. If you want anything to do with God and be a part of a church, be a part of a family of God, you need to know this. That based on this foundational scripture that we just read, spiritual growth, your growth, my growth, your kids, all of us, our growth accelerates when we know who we are, whose we are, and what in the world were we saved for. Why did God do that? Now, that's where we're going to go today. That's our destination. Now, let me start today by asking you this question. How many of a road trip? Anybody love a good road trip? You're like, if somebody was like, hey, let's get in the car and let's drive to Texas. How many of you would rather step on a rusty nail than get in that car and drive that far? Me too, all right? Now, I love you, but I don't want to spend 24 hours in the car with you, okay? And I'm talking to my family. But we do this, and we go on long road trips. But what is the number one question that everybody wants to know when you're on a road trip? Are we there yet? Your kids ask it. Your grandkids ask it. You probably ask it. We all want to know, how much longer is this going to take? What are people really wanting to know? When are we going to the nation that we set out to get to? So, as we began our church almost or a little over 4 years ago, we're entering into year number 5. I'm asking that same question about City Hope Church. Are we there yet? I'm looking at all the different ministries that we have that God's allowed us to do, and I'm asking the question, are we there yet? Now, I'm going to be completely real with you guys today. There are some areas, I don't know if I will ever feel like, man, we're there. We're there. There's always going to be areas where I feel like we need to push forward. There are some areas, I feel like we're areas in our church that I'm like, man, we need to hit the reset button on that. Like, we tried that, didn't work out so well, let's keep going. Now, let's personalize that a little bit. New year, some of you got some goals, some of you got some resolutions, right? Hopefully, what I'm talking about here kind of resembles a little bit of your life today, right? We're all becoming the person that God wants us to be. And there's some areas of your life you're like, dude, I'm winning. I'm really good in that area. And then there's probably some areas in your life where, man, I need some help. I need some strength. I need a push. I need some buddies. I need some people. And hopefully, to the person, the best version of us. Now, one thing that we have to understand is that God has all the tools. Let me back up. Only God knows your real full potential, right? Only God's the one that can say, hey, here's why I created him, here's why I created her, and here's what they could do. But God gave us all the tools. He has all the tools. He's got all the time that he needs. But here's what I believe, and I want you to hear this today. It's going to be here on the screen. And if you're a note taker, I hope you are. Maybe this year, if you weren't a note taker in 2026, because I think that's something that God uses when we break open his word and he speaks to us, and then we walk out of here and forget all about it, right? So write this down. Take a picture. God is more concerned with potential than you are. God is more concerned with you reaching your full potential than you are. I believe that with all my heart. Why do you say that, Bobby? Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Look what God's word says. Paul tells the church in Ephesus. We work. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Which God, just break that verse down just for a second. We are God's handiwork. If you are a child of God, guess what? You are his handiwork. And what do we do when we build something? When we do something, when we paint something, when we're an artist what do we want to do? We want to show it off and look how good it is, right? And the Bible says that you are God's handiwork. He created you in Christ Jesus for what? To do good works. To do really, really good things, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So here's what God kind of spoke to my heart this week, and here's what God told me to tell you. You ready? You're not ready. You're not ready. All right? You ready? God made you to flourish. God made you to flourish. You're God's handiwork. To do good works in which he prepared in advance for you to do. So God, the whole time, his plan for you has always been for you to flourish in this life. Flourishing is God's gift. Flourishing is God's plan. Flourishing is when you God, yourself, and others. Let me tell you what flourishing is not. Flourishing is not measured by outward signs like possessions and income. That's not flourishing. Flourishing means that I'm moving towards God's best version of me. When I am flourishing in my life, I'm moving towards, I'm taking step towards the best version that God has of me. And I think it's really, really, really important because God wants you to grow. God wants you to grow, but listen, God knows that you will always be you. He wants you to grow, but he wants you to know that you will always be you. Think about it like this. Some of you love the outdoors here in our beautiful, low country setting here. Take an acorn. An acorn can become and grow into an oak tree. But an acorn is never going to turn into a rose bush, right? It might turn into an oak tree, but it's never going to turn into a rose bush. What does that mean? You will always be you. And we have this mindset that God didn't decide to make you and then be like, I messed up on that guy. I'm just going to leave him alone, right? God didn't make you and then decide to throw you out. God wants you to become a new creation, the Bible says. But in that, it doesn't mean a completely different person. Well, if I'm going to follow God, I'm going to have to be just like him. I don't know that I can live just like a pastor or a guy that works at a church. I don't know if I can do that. I'm kind of messed up. The Bible, when new creation, talks about redemption a lot. It talks about how God wants to refine us. It talks about how I think the truth here is that God wants to redeem me, not exchange me. God wants to redeem me, not exchange me. And I hope that some of you in here today will really, really, really bring that in. Bring that into your life in 2026. It's not about you becoming a totally different you. Yes, there's things that God wants to refine and clean up and do better, and there needs to be growth. But God's not looking to exchange you. He created you for a purpose in mind. Now, with all of this in mind, what matters most, it's who you become. It's not what you accomplish in this world, because guess what? Let's just be really, really real today. A few months after you and I are gone, your accomplishments are probably going to get forgotten. People are going to move on. But who you are becoming matters. Now, I think for most of us. We could stop right there. We could go home. This is enough to pray about, enough to think about. But I think God wants to take it a little bit step further today. And this is what I've been processing. This is what I've been praying about, with the idea of redemption, the idea of rescue, the idea of being a new creation, the idea of flourishing. My question has been, how does a local church help you get there? How do we as a church function to help the people who make up the church get to become the people and flourish and be redeemed and be new creatures in God? How do we as City Hope Church function and live to help each other become the best version of ourselves? In other words, here's the question that I'm going to try to... What kind of church is God calling us to become? What kind of church is God calling us to become? That's the question that God has been stirring in my heart for the past 6 months. Now, if you're new, this is a perfect day for you to be here because I'm going to really, really lay out what you're getting into. All right? I'm going to lay out here what I feel like the Lord has called us to do, the kind of church that God has called us to become. Now, first, let me tell you this, okay? I want to tell you I want to tell you the things that don't work, all right? And I'm going to go through these kind of fast because I want to get to the good stuff. But I want you to understand, this is for full understanding. When you're like, what kind of church is this? What do they teach? Or somebody asks you a question, take a picture of these, and then this is going to be your answer from moving forward, all right? These are the things that we are not, and these are the things that don't work when building a church that is helping people flourish. Number one, avoiding hard truths to keep people comfortable. That growth never happens without conviction. Comfort-driven preaching. Yeah, we can all find a lot of truth that hurts. There's also a lot of truth that we need to, I'm going to use the word man up and own in our lives. What is comfortable preaching produce? It creates consumers, not disciples. Number two, we're not going to confuse attendance with spiritual maturity. I've never been a guy that says, man, I want to build this big old huge church and I want to have so many people. No. Because full rooms don't equate with transformed lives. That's not what that means. Sitting in a seat on a Sunday is not the same thing as following Jesus with your life. Number three, I'm going to equip you. We're not going to get up here and just entertain and show funny stuff. And man, we're going to do it. We're going to have a good time, but that's not going to be our focus. Because if people are impressed and they're not changed, something's wrong. Something's really wrong. Number four, we're not going to make Sunday the finish line instead of the starting line. We are not going to, Sunday morning does not mean I've made it. I'm a good Christian. I've got it all figured out. I went to church. Sunday morning is not the finish line. Church is not an event. It is a lifestyle. Number five, over program and under disciple. Busyness. I've never, ever, ever, you can ask our team, I don't want our calendar to be crazy busy because that doesn't mean that we're actually growing. It can actually just hide the fact that no one is actually growing. Number six, we're not going to lower biblical standards to appear loving to our world, all right? What does that mean? I kind of said this at the beginning. Love without truth is not a love, all right? We're going to stand on the word of God. Talk to, number seven, we're going to talk about community, but not create environments for it, all right? We believe that life happens better when you have people around you. There's people you can count on. There's people that are going to show up when you need them to, all right? So us just making an announcement, hey, get in a small group, that's not doing community together. We're going to create environments. Number eight, what are we not? Creating spectators instead of servants. If most people consume, think about this, simple math. If most people consume and few people contribute, what's going to happen? Growth is going to stall. So we're not here to create spectators, teach information without calling for transformation. Why? Because I don't want you to just walk out of here with a bunch of knowledge. The Bible says that knowledge puffs up. Right? Knowledge makes you think you're better than you really are. You know what really works? Obedience to that knowledge. Obedience builds our faith. Number 10, what we're not going to do is design church. This might be a tough one for some of you, around insiders. We're not going to design church around insiders. All right, what does that mean? Well, if you're somebody because you have no idea what's going on, that's not what we're going to do. So how do we build a church that helps take their next step? How do we get to these places? Those are not it. So I want to give you these 10 cultures that I'm going to call that I believe God has called us to create here at City Hope. Now, again, some of these we're already pretty good at. I'm just being honest. Some of these we're good at. Some of these we got work to do. But all of these, this is the kind of church that we're trying to build. You want to know, you want to be able to tell people what kind of church it is? I'm going to give you these. It's very important for you to know. Number one, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus is our message. Jesus is our motive, is our mission. I want to please him. I want to put a smile on his face. I want him to be proud of us every single day of our lives. It's all about him. The way he lived his life, that's how I want to live. That's how I want to teach you how to live. That's how I want to disciple people around me to live. Not my convictions, not my opinions. What matters first and always and only is Jesus. That's the kind of church we are. Number two, pray first. Pray first. I want us, and we're going to talk about this a lot more next week, and we're going to dig into some of these a little bit more in detail, but I want us to be a church, every single thing that we do, that's our priority. Number three, Scripture is truth. Scripture is truth. God's word is going to guide our decisions. It's going to guide our hearts. It's going to guide our minds. It's going to guide our actions. Number four, what are we about here at City Hope? Bold discipleship. Now, this is one of those areas where we have to get better. We have to get stronger in this area. We want to develop disciples who develop disciples. That's what Jesus did, what Jesus calls his church to do, and so that's what we're going to do. Number five, this one's so important to me. We want to be family strong. Deuteronomy chapter 6 lays it out very clear that your house, what happens in your house, is so much more important than what happens here on Sunday mornings. You as a family unit are the primary place that spiritual formation is going to take place. Family strong. Number six, we want to serve often. God has blessed you. God has created you. God has given you gifts, spiritual gifts for you, not to keep, to use, to bless other people. And we want to serve often. Number seven, we want to give generously. We want to give generously. We steward our resources for God's glory. None of that, you guys understand this, all right? For those of you that have been there, we're not all about money, all right? Target is all about money, all right? Starbucks is all about your money, okay? And you keep going there, so it's not about money, all right? We are about teaching and being disciples to give. God calls us to live our lives. Number eight, community matters. Life happens better in circles. We need people in our lives at all times. What does the enemy want to do? He wants to isolate you. He wants to isolate your family. He wants to get you alone. Community is what matters. Number nine, we're going to have a kingdom mindset. Everything that we do, we live on mission. It's about sharing the hope of Jesus with our neighbors and with the nations. And number 10 is we're going to worship always. No matter what happens. Can I tell you guys a little secret today? Before I even got here this morning, all of this pipe and drape all the way around this whole room fell. Busted our TV, broke our brand new TV that we just bought. All right, we busted it up. We got a different one. But tell me the enemy is not fighting. Tell me the enemy doesn't want that. Why? And we're just going to, but you know what? We're going to worship God anyways. We're going to worship through anything. We're going to respond to God's goodness, no matter what happens in our life, with joy-filled, authentic worship. This is the culture that I believe God wants for City Hope Church. Now, why is this such a big deal? Why are you telling us this today, Bobby? Well, first, number one, is because I want you to know that if you are, this is what you're getting yourself into. All right? This is what you're signing up for. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that next week. We're going to talk about church membership and why do people do that and why does that matter and what is our process here at City Hope Church? Because I want you to know that. So we'll talk more about that next week. But if God has called you, now this is so important. I want you to know what you're getting into, but I need you to hear this, okay? If God has called you and your family to be a part of City Hope Church, then God has you here as a part of this local body to help us build this culture, this goal. And so the question becomes, where do I fit in? Not, oh man, that's cool that they do that. If God has called you here, then under the authority of the local church, you're saying, how do I help City Hope Church build that kind of culture? Where do I fit in? What are my gifts? How do I step in here and help them build this kind of role, this kind of culture? You have a role to play. And guess what? We're going to talk more about that next week. We've created a process to help you find that out. But here's where I want to begin to land the plane today. Back there, and it tells me how much time I got, all right? And I'm just going to tell you, I don't care. I'm just kidding, Joe. All right? We only got one service, right? So I got to preach a little bit longer. I forgot what I was going to say. I'm going to begin to land the plane here. I've shared with you today what the Lord's been stirring on my heart. 6 months, I've been talking to our leadership and meeting, you know, several meetings with different folks. God want us to go. I was able to, which is kind of crazy, in a gym when I was 15 years old, I heard the gospel and I gave my life to Jesus. And ever since that moment, I've always felt this desire. I felt in that moment love and acceptance like I had never felt before. I mean, Jesus came into my life and I felt his embrace. And ever since then, I've always understood I want other people to feel you to feel the love and the acceptance. And you know, there's so many things telling you that you're not worthy and you're terrible and you're not a good person. And I want so desperately for every person that I come in contact with to just experience Jesus. How he stepped into my life and changed everything about me. It was absolutely the best decision that I've ever made in my life. And my soul has a burden. I want every single person I meet to experience that. I truly, truly mean that with everything in me. And I've given my life to. And since that day, when we started City Hope Church, you see the mission of City Hope Church, inviting everyday people to experience the hope of Jesus in every way. Because of what happened to me as a 15-year-old boy, we sit here today in 2026 with a church of 4 years old with a mission statement to see people experience Jesus. And I wholeheartedly believe that wherever I go the rest of my life, God may call me to Zimbabwe tomorrow. Please don't, Lord, but he might do it. Zimbabwe, you know what my mission's gonna be? That everybody there experiences Jesus the way I did. That's just who I am. That's the way I'm always gonna be wired. But over these past, 6 to 12 months, I've kind of felt like that's amazing and that's always going to be a part of my life, but I feel like there might be something that we're leaving out here. There might be a little something here that God wants to refine and add. And so for the sake of time, I'm not going to have you turn there, but I felt this. Seeing people experience Jesus is great, right? But what comes next? Once you experience love and joy and peace and goodness and forgiveness and all of that stuff, then what? God led me to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And I just encourage you to go home. This is a prayer that Jesus prayed the night before Jesus went to the cross. Okay? He prayed for these three specific things. First, he prays for God's glory. Then he prays for his disciples. And then he prays for future believers. All right? And so Jesus gives these prayers And he asks the Lord for disciples to be unified, to be protected, to be holy, to be sent into the world. But when Jesus prayed for his disciples, this is what really stood out to me. It's verses like 16 through 20, 16. And I want you to see this. And again, for the sake of time, I won't go there. But these passages really drive home this point. And look at this. Jesus didn't just save people. He entrusted them with his life, his truth, and his mission. If you go back and read that, let me challenge you, go back and read it. Just read 13 through 19, all right? John 17, 13 through 19. Jesus didn't just save people. He entrusted them with his life, his truth, and his mission. In other words, he wants us to experience him, but then there's another step. He doesn't pray that the disciples would be able to escape the world and not have to face any hard things, right? He prays for protection and for unity and for joy and holiness to all of the followers so that they can live differently, so that they can go out into the world and share his message. And Jesus's message is very clear. Believers, I want you to be guarded. Believers, I want you to be set apart. Believers, you are the ones who are commissioned to carry the world as visible proof that he was truly sent by the Father. I believe that it is time for us, our church, to truly reflect this kind of prayer of Jesus. It makes it clear that Jesus never intended for experiencing him to be the final destination. That's not the final destination. That is a glorious, wonderful, beautiful moment in all of our lives. And guess what? I wake up every single day and I ask God, God, I want to experience you in new ways today. And there's so many days when I go out into our world and say, God, help me. Help somebody else experience Jesus today. A smile, a hug, a held door, a cup of coffee, whatever it is. Buy somebody lunch. Show up at somebody's tough time. God, I want people to experience you. But that's not the final destination. The destination is becoming a people who carry him visibly into the world. So yes, we want to experience you, God. But you've also called us to live our lives in a certain way. Says, I've been asking the Lord, well, what does this mean for us? This is your local body. This is a new season. We're moving into a new building. This is a perfect time. What does this mean for us? I've just felt this stirring that God said, I kind of want to refine your filter. I want to refine the way church and the way that you look at people. And so moving forward, our focus and our filter here. Our mission is to lead everyday people to experience Jesus. That doesn't change, but we're going to add this and follow him in ways that change the world. Our mission is to lead everyday people to experience Jesus. You know who everyday people is? That's you. That's me. We're everyday people. We're just normal people. And I want to lead you and help. I want our church to help lead you into experiencing Jesus. And our church, City Hope Church, we together to follow God in ways that change the world. I've always heard it said that if you want something new, you got to try new things. Because if you expect something new to happen, but you keep doing the same things, well, you're an idiot. All right, let's just call it what it is. Sorry, I didn't call you an idiot. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I hope you get what I'm saying. And I feel like, hey, it's time. Yeah, we want people to experience Jesus. Man, I want Joseph and his team up here, and then we're praising God and we're worshiping and you're raising your hands and we're singing out. And man, I want you to experience the Holy Spirit and his presence and his joy and just his goodness. And I want you to experience it in your hospital rooms and when your children are born. I want you to experience all that Jesus is. But guess what? I also want you to follow him and use your life visibly in ways that are going to change the world, in ways that are going to change the people around you. Why? Because this is very, very, very intentional. Because leading is intentional. Leading people every day to experience Jesus, that we want real encounters with him, not just information, not just reading the Bible and remembering a verse, real encounters. Following him, that simply means that we are growing as disciples. We are learning to love people like Jesus loves people. Changing the world means that we don't stop with me. It doesn't stop with just me. We are moving, we are living, helping other people find him too. Every part of my life, I want people to experience Jesus. We invite people in, we lead them forward, and we send them out. Now, as I close, here's what I want you to hear very clearly today. This is important. If you haven't heard anything else, get this. This mission statement is not just for the staff of City Hope Church. This mission statement is not just something that we can put on a t-shirt and on our website. This is not just a staff mission. This is a church mission. So what does that mean for you? If we are going to lead everyday people to experience Jesus and follow him in ways that change the world, if we are going to do this, it's not going to happen because of a building. It's not going to happen because of money. It's not going to happen because we write it cool. It's going to because everyday people decide to live this mission wherever they are. So, hear me. This mission shows up in your parenting. This mission shows up in how you treat your spouse. This mission shows up in how you work, how you forgive, how you serve others, how you give financially, how you love people around you. Church, listen, church does not change the world. People changed by Jesus. That's what matters. So let me ask you this question today. As we start a new year, we're going to dig into this more next week. What would your life look like if you developed that mission, if you adopted that mission in your life? What would your life look like? What if today, right now, here in just a moment, when we pray, you begin to pray, God, how are you calling me to lead someone to Jesus? Who are you calling me to lead to Jesus? God, how are you calling me to follow you more faithfully? Would you dare to pray that today? God, who have you placed in my life that you want me to impact? Because I know coming to church on Sunday for coming to church on Sunday is not the end game. So my challenge is simple this morning. Don't just attend. Don't just be an attender. Don't just agree with it and clap at it and say, man, that's cool. I like that. My challenge is simple. Let's go. Let's live it out together. Let's live out what God's called us to do, to invite people in, to lead them forward, and to live lives that are sent. Because when God gives people vision, let's go back to the very beginning of what we started at today. His people can live with clarity. His people can live with purpose. His people can live with impact. I truly believe that the best days of City Hope are ahead of us. They're not behind. Ready, church, to get it started. So let's get it started. Would you pray with me? Father, Lord, I know that there's people that have been with us for 4 years. There's people that this is their first Sunday in this room. And God, I just ask you to speak to each and every one of us. And Lord, I pray that we would pray some bold prayers today. God, do you want me to be a part of that church family? God, I pray that we would pray some bold prayers. God, who are you calling me to help experience you? Who are you challenging me to lead? Who are you challenging me to go and share and make an impact in their life? Church, maybe your bold prayer today is to ask God for forgiveness, because in your mind, church has been the end game and not the starting point. And today, God's speaking to your heart, and he's saying it's time for a mindset shift. You can't expect new things and keep doing old ways. And so today's a mindset shift. God, me coming and sitting at church on Sunday is the starting point. And God, help me to see that in my life. Help me to adopt this mission statement in every aspect of my life. Maybe that's your prayer today. Prayer is, God, forgive me, I've been a consumer, not a producer. Maybe your prayer is, God, it's time. It's time for me to get in the game. I've been on the bench for too long. What's your prayer today? What's God speaking to you about? I tried to lay it out very clearly, the vision and the mission that I believe God has given City Hope Church. Do you want to be a part of that? If the answer is yes, then where do you fit in? Where do I fit in? Would you take a second right now, church, and just quietly, there in your seat, closed, and just spend a moment with the Lord. Spend a moment with him. If you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, you sit here this morning and you've never truly surrendered, that's step one. You need to experience his love, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, his goodness. But if you've taken that step and you consider yourself a child of God, the Bible says you were chosen. And not that just you were chosen for a reason. How am I doing on mine? Would you stand up and make a bold decision today? Would you just say, you know what? Going into 2026, I'm going all in. I'm going all in. I'm going to adopt the mission. I'm gonna be the best church member I can be. I'm gonna be the best follower of Christ I can be. And guess what's gonna happen? You're gonna become a better dad. You're gonna become a better husband, a better wife, a better friend, a better leader, a better disciple, a better discipler. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for vision. I thank you for just the opportunity to stand here today in front of hundreds of people. And God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit conviction would reign bigger and louder than my words. God, that you would truly convict us in our hearts. Conviction is what creates change. Not just me up here talking. But God, convict us in our hearts and in our lives of the places that we are not fulfilling our part as followers of Christ. Convict us of those places and help us to see them and to make the changes necessary. And God, use to see people experience you, but to lead people into following you in ways that change the world. Help us to become a church that disciples people really well. Not for our glory, God. We're not building anything for us. We're building it for you. And we promise to always worship you, to always give you the glory, to always put you first. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Thank you for those that are faithful. So many in this room have been faithful for years. I pray your blessings on them. Give them continued strength, boldness, courage. Give them eyes to see hurting people. And Lord, help us each and every one of us to answer the question, where do I fit in? What's my part? We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. As Jeff comes, he's going to give us a couple more offerings. Man, I went way over. By the way, because we have one service now, the six out a little bit, all right? So you'll still get out earlier than you used to. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. I would love to, if I haven't had a chance to meet you, we would love to do that. And by the way, when we're done, we got to take all this pipe and drape down. So if you want to hang out and help, that'd be awesome.
Y'all, can we give it up for that message?
Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.